Live all across the United States and Canada and around the world, we're on the air because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and I'm fresh from Southern California as well as Northern California, spoke in both Southern California and Northern California this weekend. And one of the subjects that I broached was the subject of evolution. And I used as show and tell an article in the Weekend Journal of the Wall Street newspaper. The Wall Street Journal has a picture of Charles Darwin, which is about the same size as a picture of God. And the article is titled Man Versus God. And I thought it was a particularly poignant article. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But I think poignant because James Watson, who was a Nobel Prize winner, also well known as the co-discoverer of the destruction of the structure of DNA, made a statement, and it's worth repeating. If you don't think you're in a war, this statement might change your mind. James Watson, again, Nobel Prize winner, co-discoverer of the structure of DNA, says, and I quote, "Charles Darwin will eventually be seen as a far more significant figure in the history of human thought than either Jesus Christ or Muhammad." Let me repeat that. Again, from not some wild-eyed liberal that everybody knows is crazy, but by someone who won the prestigious Nobel Prize. Someone who is co-discoverer of the structure of DNA, who writes, "Charles Darwin will eventually be seen as a far more significant figure in the history of human thought than either Jesus Christ or Muhammad." Now, I want to point out as I make my comments here that it shouldn't surprise you that pagan intellectuals write or think like this. They're pagans. They're exercising their job description. The problem is that their message is heard by multitudes because we haven't given, as Christians, a reasonable answer. In other words, we haven't exercised our job description, which is to be ambassadors. As I've quipped from time to time, most of us are secret agents who have never blown our cover before the unregenerate world. But back to the article, Man Versus God. On the one hand, you have Richard Dawkins. If Thomas Huxley was Darwin's bulldog, Richard Dawkins has been aptly described as his Rottweiler. But he says this, and this is a summary of the article. "Evolution is the creator of life. It's the greatest show on earth. The only game in town. Evolution is God's," listen to this, "evolution is God's redundancy notice, his pink slip. God is not dead," says Dawkins. "He was never alive in the first place." Now, that's the Darwinian evolutionary point of view. And, of course, this is a pro-con. You have, on the one side, the Darwinian evolutionist. On the other hand, you have the one who supports the notion of a creator. And in that particular corner stands Karen Armstrong. Now, what does she say? Well, she says, what of the pain that Darwin unveiled? What of the death and racial extinctions that he exposed? What of callous cruelty and evolutionary waste? Here's her answer. The notion of God, like any good myth, is a coping mechanism. A coping mechanism so that we can endure pain and sorrow in an arbitrary world controlled by natural selection. Of course, her point is not that God is real. The idea is that a belief in God can help you deal with the pain and waste that Darwin unveiled. Now think about that for a moment. The Bible is nothing more than a psychology book that can help you cope with the evolutionary process. Now, all of this, by the way, is being said in an age of scientific enlightenment in which the fossil record says no to evolution. It's being communicated in an epoch of time in which ape men, fiction, fantasies, and frauds abound. It's being communicated in a time in which the notion of design without a designer is ever more untenable. In an epoch of time in which empirical science explodes the myth of Darwinian evolution. Now, I'm careful with my words here because as Christians, we certainly believe in microevolution, changes within kinds. But the notion that a lizard becomes a bird is singularly untenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. My point in all of this is simply to say that we are in the midst of a battle, a war, and it is crucial that you as a believer are equipped to give a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. We have this notion that science is the child of secularism. That is false. Science could have only arisen within a Christian worldview. The secularists could have come up with alchemy, but not chemistry, with astrology, but not astronomy. The notion that secularism birthed science is simply false. And as Christians, we are commanded to know how to answer those who are leading our children and our children's children astray. Not bloviating, but giving an answer with gentleness and with respect, and using our well-reasoned answers as springboards or opportunities to share the grace and truth and love that only the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence can afford to the human heart. Now, all of that to say, we have some of the most incredible resources available at the Christian Research Institute so that you can be equipped. One of them I talked about in the last couple of weeks, Darwin's Dilemma. It's a DVD. It's spectacular. But we have a whole bunch of resources like that. You can sit in the privacy of your home and watch these DVDs and be equipped. In fact, it's fun. It's easy. And you don't have to leave the answers to the hired gun. Well, he can do that, or she can do that. No, you can do that, because your child may well come home with a question. And even if you can't answer the question, watch the DVD with them. Privileged Planet, Case for a Creator, Darwin's Dilemma. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Know what you're talking about. Use your well-reasoned answer as the greatest of all opportunities. The opportunity for the Holy Spirit to move through you in the process of touching another life for time and for eternity. A lot of people hanging on. We'll go right to our phone calls. Let's go first to Fred. He's listening in Fort Wayne, Indiana on WFCV. Hi, Fred.
Hi. There's a TV pastor out of Arkansas named Arnold Murray, and in the Genesis creation account, when he goes through it, he cites what was created each day of the week, and on the seventh day, God rested. And then after that, and at least in my NIV, it goes into the creation of man. And I'm not sure if he uses that as a way to justify the existence of dinosaurs and, you know, longer than biblically accepted age of the world. But I don't know if you can infer that correctly, or whether God has to come straight out and say that there is something like an eighth day for there to be an eighth day.
Yeah, well, first of all, one of the problems that we have, in fact, it's interesting that you asked that question in light of what I just shared in my monologue, the article I just talked about in the Wall Street Journal. Because if you follow people like Arnold Murray, what you find is that he and his followers are helping us in reverse by saying all kinds of nonsensical things, and then people like Richard Dawkins can use those nonsensical things as though this is the generally accepted idea within the historic Christian faith. And that way he can set up a caricature of Christianity as opposed to dealing with the real thing. But Arnold Murray has no grip on anything except racist ideology in this regard. Because in his view, he says that there is such a thing as an Anglo-Israelite. He believes that the Anglo-Saxons are the chosen race, that America and Great Britain are the 10 lost tribes of the children of Israel, that later went north and populated Europe and North America. And then, according to his theology, other races inferior to the whites are the blacks and the other races. His basic view is he believes these races were created on one day and the other races were created on another day. So in his view, the races that were the Adam races were created on the sixth day, and then the Anglo-Saxons were another Adam created on the eighth day. But if you read the Bible at all, you find that the Bible explodes that mythology, because the Bible clearly contends that from one man, God made every nation of men that they could inhabit the whole earth. And he designed the exact time and places that they would live, and God did this so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So the notion that God created one kind of man on the sixth day and another kind of man on the eighth day is biblically indefensible. Not only that, but I would argue that the very notion that he has of a chronology here is simply wrong. What you have in the creation account is not a chronology of creation, but a hierarchy of creation, with man or humanity being the crowning jewel of God's creation.
So does he just come up with all this as an ego trip, or what does he stand to gain from
Well, yeah, it's hard for me to judge any man's motives, so I can't judge his motives. I can only test what he says in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. But at the very foundation of his thinking is a flawed idea with respect to how to read the Bible for all it's worth. He's never figured out the art and science of biblical interpretation. Therefore, he is reading his own odd predilections into the text rather than taking from the text what the Holy Spirit has placed in the text. If you want further information on Arnold Murray and his deviations from the historic Christian faith, we have a position paper on that. Arnold Murray and his quote-unquote church, the Shepherd's Chapel. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web. But this is an apt example of the battle we're in. We have a battle from without and a battle from within. We have people who are prostituting the faith from within and people attacking the faith from without. And in the midst of this milieu, God has left a remnant that can make a difference because they believe truth matters. And that, of course, is why we always ask you to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. I'll be right back with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff, Chuck Colson, and William Lane Craig headline a host of the nation's top speakers and leaders at the National Conference on Christian Apologetics in Charlotte, North Carolina, November 13th and 14th. Thousands gather from around the nation and world to learn how to defend their faith and equip their congregations. The conference also includes a debate between Dinesh D'Souza and the atheist Christopher Hitchens and a special youth apologetics tract too. For more details, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank will return with more of the program right after this.
Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our practical apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple. Can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel. Daniel walks into the lion's den. and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Superb acting, incredible sound effects, and the moving musical score make the Word of Promise a very powerful tool to enhance your personal worship or Bible study experience. The Word of Promise transports listeners back to a time of world-changing events. Listening to the Word presented in dramatic audio theater format helps any size group, from church congregations to small groups to youth groups, comprehend the Scripture more fully. You can also download to your iPod. It makes the Bible come alive. Order the Word of Promise Complete Audio Bible, Old Testament or New Testament versions in dramatic audio theater in either CD or MP3 CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Order today and receive free shipping. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and let me add to what you just said. If you don't have the Word of Promise, get it today. In fact, I'm listening to it now in MP3, only 11 discs, and you have the entire Bible, old and new. It's the most stunning of all Bibles I have ever listened to. I'm absolutely enthralled day by day as I'm listening through the Bible. It's dramatic audio theater. It's not just repeated, it's played out. And I would say played out in your imagination, because you hear the sights and the sounds, and it is absolutely riveting. If you want to get the Word of God into you and get into the Word of God, this is a great way to do it. Again, you can get them on CDs, you can get them MP3, and it is an extraordinary product that you can see on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can order by talking to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Daniel listening on the web. He's in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Good talking to you.
All right, good. I was out there in California with you, and that was a great experience in terms of how many people, in terms of the apologetics game. And, you know, going back to your monologue, you know, one of the speakers that said, you know, it takes all of us, you know, no matter what your personality may be like, you know, we need every single person, you know, being equipped and standing for Christ.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
To get to my question, it's funny, this sort of stems from the talk that you had. You had the final talk on Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, and another issue that I pretty much just bridged them together. But in accordance with what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, and Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, I'll just use one of the faith teachers as an example. Even if T.D. Jakes spoke a message or wrote a book in concert with the Bible, since most of his works contradicts essential doctrines and he promotes dangerous non-essential doctrines, the question is, should I dismiss him altogether, or can I say, okay, you know, maybe he speaks something that's a little bit of worth, and so I'll take that, I guess, with like a grain of salt.
Yeah, Daniel, I would describe someone like T.D. Jakes as a lot of water with a little cyanide in the water. You don't want to drink the water, because unless you are very adept at separating the water from the cyanide, you're probably going to get poisoned. And I think that's what happens when you listen to the teachings of T.D. Jakes. And as you well know, if you read Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, that is amply underscored in the text itself. So I'm using his own writings in context to demonstrate that he's communicating a spiritual cyanide by the megadose, and therefore, while I'm certainly not saying that you couldn't get anything good out of listening to T.D. Jakes, what I am saying is you better have great discernment so you can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light, and between that which is poisonous and that which is palatable.
All right, yeah, that definitely sounds good. You know, even from your teachings, and, you know, basically just doing the studies, I guess, for everybody, that's exactly what you just said. You know, you have to, your observant level has to be on very high in terms of what you take in.
Yeah, right? And that's exactly what this is all about. I mean, if you talk about our ministry, Daniel, you're talking about a ministry that's a discernment ministry, and a ministry that seeks to equip people so that they themselves can exercise their discernment skills so that they don't fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie. And I think one of the points that's prevalent in your question is this, that Satan never simply gives his message in its naked, ugly deformity. He always clothes it in some palatable rag so that it looks good to us. So if it were just its ugly, naked deformity, we would say, oh, that's a falsehood I don't want to have anything to do with. But it sounds so good, and it seems so worthwhile, and many people don't see it for what it is, an empty bauble that has some incredibly dangerous side effects.
All right. Would it be possible if I could just ask you a quick opinion on something that's relative to what we're talking about?
Yeah.
All right. In terms of one of the speakers, I actually didn't go to his presentation. I actually went to, I think it was Greg Kokel, where he was talking about how to witness to the Jehovah's Witness using their own material. But one of the speakers I wanted to go to was speaking on hip-hop, and that was sort of where I bridged this from. Like, I'm not sure if you're too familiar with music artists, but I'll use, like, let's say a Britney Spears, for example. Would that same principle apply to music? Like, in terms of you don't want to internalize basically the sinful messages that come from a person, let's say like a Britney Spears, but you want to basically discern everything what's being said and just, I guess, take a little bit that I guess you can get and discard the rest.
Yeah, or another way of putting this is you don't want to become a microcosm of the culture. You want to become a change agent in the culture. So you can use what the culture abuses for the good of the cause of Christ. And a lot of people think that music came out of some kind of a secular context. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Music came out of a Christian context. Music has been stolen, perverted, and I think we certainly can do all in our power to take it back and use it in all of its forms for the glory of God and the extension of His kingdom.
Definitely. All right, thank you, Hank. You definitely helped me once again. Just thank you. Thank you, brother.
Hey, Daniel, good talking to you, my friend.
Yes, same here.
I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Juan in Bronx, New York. Hi, Juan.
How you doing, Hank?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fine. It's an honor to be on your show. I've been listening for a little bit of time already, and I really enjoy things you have to say. I have a question, and it has to do with Joyce Meyer. I've heard a lot of things said about her, but I'm not pretty sure which things are true or which are false. One of those things that I've heard is that she has a doctrine that Jesus Christ, after his death, was sent to hell and was tortured there by demons, but I'm not sure if that's true or not. I don't know. I just wanted to know, is that true? And if it is true, do you have a clip that we can hear?
I don't know if we have a clip. We'll see if we can dredge that up, but I have in my hand Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, and under a subhead, Error Begets Error, on page 182 in my book, I talk about Joyce Meyer in this regard. I quote a publication written by Joyce Meyer called The Most Important Decision You Will Ever Make. And okay. In that publication, she dogmatically declares that Messiah was, and this is quote from her,
okay,
in the grave 3 days. During that time, he entered hell, where you and I deserve to go legally because of our sin. And then she says, he paid the price there. That's in italics. Okay? So the first error, of course, is what does Jesus say to the thief on the cross? He says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And he says to his father, Father, into thy hands I commit my being, not Satan. Into your clutches I resign my being.
Okay.
As far as paying the price in hell, that is decidedly unbiblical as well. Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross, says the Apostle Paul in Colossians 2:15. Now, she goes on in that same publication and says this, that after 3 days of torment, so here Jesus is being tormented for 3 days in hell, according to Meyer, and completely at odds with the Word of God.
Okay.
She goes on and says, quote, God rose up from his throne, so this is after 3 days of torment.
Okay.
And said to the demon powers, tormenting the sinless Son of God, let him go. Now this is complete extra-biblical eisegesis. She goes on to say, then the resurrection power of Almighty God went through hell and filled Jesus.
Okay.
On the earth, his grave, the tomb where they had buried him, filled with a light as the power of God filled his body. And he was resurrected from the dead, the first born again man.
Okay.
Well, let me talk about that for a moment. The concept of being born again, as Jesus Christ communicated it to Nicodemus in John 3,
yes,
applies solely to sinful humanity.
Okay.
So the Bible will say that Jesus was begotten, but it's not going to tell you that he was born again.
Yes.
When John refers to Christ as the one and only who came from the Father, the begotten, he was emphasizing the unique nature of Jesus Christ. So we know that Jesus is fully God, he's fully man, he's the unique and eternal Son of the Father. And therefore, Jesus had no need to be born again because Jesus is and always has been the eternal Son of God. In fact, on the cross, he was a sweet-smelling savor unto God. He was the unblemished lamb upon whom the sins of the world were laid. So this is complete heresy being communicated. And I read the quote from her because it is hard for people to believe that someone who takes the sacred name of Christ upon their lips would say such a thing, but she does, as does Joel Osteen, all under the rubric of Christianity. No wonder Darwin's Rottweiler goes after the Christian caricature as though it was the real thing, because this is the public display of Christianity to the secular world.
Wow, this is... really, I've never heard this. Wow, it's amazing. Where did you say again that you got that direct quote from?
Okay, the actual publication written by Joyce Meyer is the most important decision you will ever make.
Okay.
And she goes on, by the way, to say that if you do not believe that Jesus Christ went to hell in your place, you have no hope of going to heaven. So, again, all of that is outlined in Christianity Crisis 21st Century. So she has thrown down the gauntlet, not I, but she. And we are simply testing what she says in light of Scripture and saying to people, hold on to your seats and hold on to that which is good from a biblical perspective.
I know that your commercial's coming up, but can you say something about the rapture, please?
Just
what you believe about it?
Sure.
Okay, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate your answer.
Hey, thanks, Juan.
Okay.
Juan from Bronx, New York. We'll go right back to our other callers right after the break, and I will, in deference to Juan, say something about the rapture as well. Stay tuned for that on the other side of the break. Again, if you want to get your question on air, the number to dial is always 888-ASK-INK. We'll be right back in just a few moments. Please don't touch that dial.
Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the radio program and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, watching video clips, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can access all of these new media.
At last count, CRI reaches people in over 177 countries through the research materials, resources, and our broadcast found at www.equip.org. You can help too. Spread the word by posting links to our website and articles from your Facebook page and your tweets. It's all at www.equip.org. But don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after these messages.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers that people are looking for because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers, like Christian musician Phil Ehart, founder of the band Kansas and supporter of the Christian Research Institute for nearly 25 years.
The Christian Research Institute, to me, is the gold standard of truth. And that's why I stand with you, and that's why I've always supported you. The Christian Research Institute, you have no peers as far as I'm concerned. And I think as a Christian, wherever you are in your walk right now, there's nothing more important than the truth. And Jesus is the truth. And that's why I would ask for people listening to prayerfully support and financially support. And take that step forward and be on the team and be a part of it as I have for almost 25 years now.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation.
If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, CRI Fellowship, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274 or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. When I was in Southern California as well as Northern California this weekend, so many people talked to me, particularly in San Francisco, about the fact that we're no longer on the radio there, and hopefully we'll be back on the radio in the near future, but right now we're not. And so many people said that was a sacred time, and they came up to me in droves, literally, and said, I wish from the bottom of my heart that you're still on the radio there. You're my lifeline in a very, very pagan culture. And so it's very difficult for us to go off stations, but that's what happens when we don't have the resources. And we could make an argument that we stayed on stations far too long and built up some debt that we now have to deal with as a result of that. And that is why I make this plea that you support the ministry, those listening to the sound of my voice. It's not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. The real exigency of canceling a station came to root, or to roost, I should say, I suppose, this calendar year. We talked about having to do it, and finally we had to do it. And with every station that we have to cut comes great pain and sorrow for me. I would say that's probably my biggest burden. I carry some great burdens here, but that's my biggest burden. Because I know that there's never been a time in which this ministry has been more needed than this. So there's never been a greater need for this ministry. So this is hardly the time to cut back. And yet, as I've said it so often, the gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. So once again, if you can stand with us prayerfully and financially, I would deeply appreciate it. You can do that by joining the Bible Answer Man monthly support team on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by talking to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And for your gift of $100 or more to start, I'll send you a personalized copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. It is an absolutely gorgeous book, but it's my way of saying thank you to those who join with us and start with a gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. But please do remember that regular monthly giving is the backbone for what we do. That's what we depend on. And every day as I look at the mail, I wonder, are we going to have the resources that will supply the need? The bills come in every single day for radio and otherwise, and we need people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. I can just make the appeal. I trust the Lord to touch your heart. Again, you can give on the World Wide Web at equip.org by writing it at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by talking to resource consultants at 888-7000. CRI, and that translates to 888-7000-274. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe on the web. Oh, I was going to say something about the rapture. Juan was asking me, I'll be right with you, Joe. You know, say something about the rapture. Let me just say this quickly. If you want to understand this subject in completeness, there's a book I wrote called The Apocalypse Code. But as far as the rapture is concerned, there certainly is a precedent for saying that Paul, in his first epistle to the Thessalonians, talks about a rapture in the sense of being caught up. Not specifically using that word, but we now have a Latin word that we translate rapture. But the idea of being caught up, a biblical concept, but what does it mean? It means in the context of 1 Thessalonians 4 that we are welcoming to our city a visiting dignitary, as it were. If you go to the way John puts it in his revelation from Jesus Christ on the island of Patmos, he says, God himself will be with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Behold, I'm making everything new. So the idea is not that God is going to send his son to die on a cross, to resurrect from the dead, to ascend into heaven, and then come again in a secret coming in which he comes, reverses his direction, and then takes his people to heaven for 7 years, and then he's going to come again in a second coming, and then there are going to be people saved after the second coming, and then there's going to be a semi-glorious age for 1,000 years with rebuilt temple and reinstituted simple temple sacrifices. That's, I think, reading into the text far more than what the text says. In fact, it's prostituting the meaning of the text, because 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 really deals with something altogether different. Now, if you don't believe that, just read the entire passage in context, where Paul makes clear that Christians should not grieve as those who have no hope, because we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So the notion here has to do, in context, with resurrection, not a pre-tribulational rapture. So again, the important thing here is to learn to read the Bible for all it's worth, and never to take my word for it and say, well, look, I heard Tim LaHaye say something else, and he's a respected teacher. I hear you. I don't know what to think. Take what I say. Test it in light of Scripture, like a Berean. You'll be counted as more noble, and then hold fast to that which is good. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Joe on the web, Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Joe.
Hi. How you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I want to thank you very much for your... you've done so much for me. I've only been listening to you for about 2 months, and really brought me towards the Lord. I grew up in a Baptist church, and I married a Catholic woman, and she will not go to church with me for nothing. And I just want to know your take on the Catholic religion.
Well, interesting. You know, you're asking me this question after I was in Northern California, had dinner with a Catholic man and his wife. And they were among the most committed, thoughtful, intelligent Christians that I have ever met in my life. Which is to say, there is no question in my mind, zero doubt, after spending an evening with them and having a very significant conversation with them, that they are a brother and a sister in Christ. Now, do I agree with everything that they now adhere to? No. And we discussed that. But they hold fast to the Apostles' Creed. They hold fast to the creeds of Christendom. They have a high view of God, a high Christology. They believe that we're saved by God's grace alone. They do not believe in the same soteriologic structure that I do, but yet they do not believe in a crass system of works righteousness as is so often attributed to Catholics. Now, there are a lot of Catholics that do, just as there are a lot of Protestants that do. We talked about things that I disbelieve in, I don't believe in, like purgatory or limbo, or many other doctrines that are held within the Catholic construct. But again, these were committed evangelical Catholics, completely committed to the fact that they placed their trust in Jesus Christ alone. And they are they're a wonderful brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think that we need to be very careful when we try to characterize Catholicism, because within the Catholic construct are significant and sincere brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we've done a lot of writing on this subject, which you can find on the World Wide Web at equip.org. But again, within that construct, just as within many Protestant churches, I mean, you go to an Episcopal church or a PCUSA church or an evangelical Lutheran church, using the word evangelical even, and find doctrines of demons. So I think the real issue is speaking to the individual and finding what their passion is. In the case of this husband and wife, their passion was not only to glorify God, but to learn how to study the Bible for all it's worth. And so they're very intimately involved in Bible study and devotion as well.
Yeah, and I heard you like about a week ago talk about baptism, either, you know, as a baby, you know, and I really didn't believe in that. We got a three-year-old, and we didn't get him baptized. And you didn't really go on about, you said you and your dad didn't really agree on that, but there really ain't nothing in the Bible to say either way, right?
Well, I think there is, but this is one of those categories that we would say is secondary. The main and the plain things are so clear that a child can understand them. The secondary issues are not quite as self-evident, and therefore there's debate in Christian circles on them. There's no debate, however, that we ought to be baptized, because in being baptized, as Paul puts it in Romans chapter 6, we're being buried to our old life and raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer book, a collector's edition. But again, Joe, in your situation, the reason I had so much prologue to my answer is because you are married, and you want to make sure that you do what you do with gentleness and with respect, demonstrating a bouquet full of love towards your wife.
Yeah. All righty. If you don't mind, I just want one last question.
Well, I don't mind, but I...
It's only about just real quick. Anything about Dr. Charles Stanley? I listen to him a lot. Do you have any respect for him? Or?
I do.
Okay.
That was an easy one to answer. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A lot of you hanging on right now. Don't go away. I'll get to you because I'm going to stay right here in the seat for an extra hour. Once I go off the air, continue answering your calls. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. If you're dialing in, as always, the number in the U.S. or Canada, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. You can call me right now. We'll be taking your calls, as I say, if you're hanging on or calling in during the next hour. Do remember, as always, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we go away. As simple as that. We need you. We need the body. We're a team inside this organization and those who support from the outside. So let me hear from you at equip.org or 888-7000-CRI. So long for now.
To successfully defend the historic faith and be equipped as a light in this too often dark world, you need CRI's award-winning publication, Christian Research Journal, which probes today's religious movements, promotes doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and provides reason for Christian faith and ethics. Call CRI and start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And he said to them,
"When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.'"
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas. But God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Begin your personal, fulfilling prayer life with the Lord. Get your copy of The Prayer of Jesus by Hank Hanegraaff. Call the Christian Research Institute and order The Prayer of Jesus, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find it on our website. Just go to www.equip.org.
Can there be any greater joy than to commune in the secret place with the living God?